All right, you guys, welcome to It Is What It Is. I'm Sha Marie, and I am solo, all by myself. And I'm kind of excited and kind of nervous at the same time. So the Oxygen Channel did a special with Kim Kardashian West. And I'm like a Kim Kardashian fan before she was a West. So I've literally watched everything she's done, even her porn. Like, big fan. So she's also now, she started practicing law. And I know everybody thinks it's funny. And they're like, oh, she's so dumb. And she has like an ugly cry face. What can she do for the justice system? I'm going to tell you what she's done for the justice system. So hopefully by the end of this, you'll sit back and be like, wow, maybe she isn't a dummy like everybody says, and she's legitly an awesome fucking person. So this is like, it has like four little parts. It's only an hour and 27 minutes long. They advertise it as a 2-hour special. That's just because of commercials. So the special is called Kim Kardashian West, The Justice Project. And so what it is it's her talking to, I think, 3 or 4 different people, I think, are in this, maybe 5. But she goes and she talks to them. And this is just like what she's trying to do is reform the justice system altogether, including the way you're sentenced, how long you're imprisoned, and what's available to you once you are imprisoned. And she is not doing this alone, okay? She's not all by herself championing this. And she says that all the time. She's like, I have no idea. And she's so cute because she says, I just see something unfair. And so, like, I have a voice, so I'm going to fix it. And honestly, I read some of the comments on Twitter and people are like, oh, she's just whining and saying things aren't fair. She is saying things aren't fair, but she's sitting there doing something. And so she tells you little bits and facts throughout the whole thing, like little, numbers and charts and cute little things like that, and like ratios and all that fun stuff. But so the first one that she'll inform you of, if you watch it or don't, is that 2.2 million men and women are behind bars in the USA. Okay, that's more than anywhere else in the world, which is insane. She is doing this docuseries with Jessica Jackson. She is the co-founder and the national director for hashtag Cult 50. It's a group that she's a part of with changing all of this. And Aaron Hayes, maybe, I don't know. I'm horrible with last names. She's the senior counsel on this. And they are both Kim's mentors in her getting her law degree. And so they make cute little quotes throughout the whole thing. And I wrote them down. I think Aaron said this one. I forgot to write the name. I know I wrote them on the rest. But she said, it's time to stop looking at people like they're numbers and start looking at them like they're people. Which is very, very true. So the person who started this whole thing with Kim's wanting to change all of this is Miss Alice Jackson. So Miss Johnson, sorry, not Jackson, Johnson, same last name as me. I don't know why I fucked that up. Okay, so Alice Johnson. So Miss Johnson was in prison for 22 years, y'all, for a non-violent drug charge. So what happened is she has life shit that leads her to where she gets put in the situation that then leads her to prison. Okay. And this is one of the things that Kim's trying to get everybody to look at is look at what happened to lead the person to going to prison. And so Miss Alice's story is crazy, y'all. Okay. So her son gets killed at 12 years old. He's hit by a truck. Bam. Okay. Her and her husband having problems. We get a divorce. We lose our house. We're a mom of 5 kids. We are just fucking sinking. The world's around us. Everything's breaking down. She gets that one crazy opportunity that comes out of the middle of nowhere to be a phone mule, okay? This is back in the 90s. And so when you're a phone mule, what you do is you... Someone calls you, you three-way the other person. They use your line for communication. So that's what she did. She was in it for the money. She knew nothing about what was going on, how much drugs, where the drugs were going, or anything like that. She had no idea, okay? So the court deems her the fucking ringleader of the whole thing. It's a multi-million dollar cocaine ring. And she's a mom of five. And they assume that she's just balling. I don't even know, dude. So it's crazy. So she gets life plus 25 years in 1996. She had a lawyer. I don't believe she still has a lawyer. Maybe she does because she does do a bunch of justice work. But her name is Brittany Barnett. She was Alice's attorney at the time, like I said. Alice got the same time, guys, as the Unabomber. It's crazy. So she went to prison when she was 41 years old, which is, in my opinion, still really young. She's 64 years old when she gets out. Several of the drug dealers involved in that case made plea deals and walked free. Miss Alice will tell you that when you go to prison for a crime, that your whole family does time, which is very true. I truly, truly believe that. And Miss Alice missed out on becoming a grandparent and becoming a great grandparent. Her parents passed away while she was in prison. Miss Alice didn't waste her time in prison at all, though. She was a mentor for people. She went to school. She did a bunch of things while she was behind bars. And she was known for bringing hope to a hopeless situation, which says a lot about a person. So, hashtag Cult50 is a nonpartisan. Their aim is to reduce the number of people in prisons, jails, and crime across America, like I said. So, for Mrs. Alice's case, lawyers from New York, Dallas, Memphis, and Los Angeles met up to help Kim and her lawyer get her out. Kim Kardashian went to the White House, and this is the first thing that when everybody started making fun of her, this is the thing that what she was doing. She went to the White House to talk to Donald Trump. A week later, she got to call Alice and Alice called her, obviously, but she got to tell Miss Alice that she was going home. And they do film it on Keeping Up with the Kardashians and on this, obviously. And so you get to hear, like, her finding out that she's going home. I guess everybody in the prison, like, all the inmates and stuff, were, like, sad and crying and cheering. And, like, everybody was just so happy that she was going home because everybody knew it was bullshit she was there. You shouldn't get life when you've never done anything wrong. That's beyond words. I can't even imagine. Miss Alice said 22 years of disappointments and weight was lifted off of her. Just like that, the day that came. Like I said, Donald Trump gave her clemency. Jessica's, one of her quotes that I liked, is, you're not your worst mistake. And I think people need to remember that. Like, you are not just, people fuck up. I'm like number one person. People fuck up, dude. You just gotta let it go. So this is a weird statistic, and I didn't know this, but every day, on average, 12 people die in prison in the U.S. 12 fucking people! That's insane! That's insane. 12 people die in prison is insane. So Kim Kardashian now gets a bunch of inmate mail from inmates and families, and she reads them, asking for her help. And so she goes over some of the people that wrote her, and one of them is Miss Donna Jackson. Okay, her story is heartbreaking. Her sexual abuse case started at 5 years old. 5 years old, okay? She's repeatedly molested for years, a total of 6 family members. She ends up becoming a mother of 7 children. She gets 21 years behind bars. That's how long she's been in so far. Her mother's boyfriend was one of the first people to start molesting her at the age of 5. Her and her brother then go to live with her grandparents, okay? So the next 20 years, she's sexually abused by multiple family members multiple times. And one of them, that's a repeating person, is her step-grandfather. She tried to take her life more than once, and that's all documented in courts. She has hospital visits from when she was 5 years old from being sexually abused and needing assistance in that area. And so she got into drugs and stuff when she got older. So on March 24th, 1999, she goes to her stepfather's house to try to get money, to ask him for money, because he has been supplying her money, even though he is molesting her and raping her. It's what she's known her whole life, so he just gives her money. He's one of those piece of shit dudes. And when she goes there, he starts groping up on her. He's trying to have sex with her and trying to molest her. She ends up stabbing him several times. She is arrested and charged with first-degree murder. She was 27 years old. And it's insane because none of that that I just told you guys was in that trial. None of it. Of any of the things he ever did wrong were in there to show that, like, she didn't just stab him because he didn't give her money. She didn't just do this because she was on drugs. Like, it's insane that none of this was presented at all in court. In the 1980s, women's incarceration rates had grown twice the pace of men's, so it's crazy. Her children talk and speak on her behalf, and it's just heartbreaking, and it just tears you apart. She said that the court never knew that she suffered from aggressive incest, battered children syndrome and sexual trauma, PTSD, and substance addiction. She got 30 years, which is a life sentence. At the time of her trial, she had a public defender. Now, her son has cancer, and she is truly just a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful soul. And she is currently, they're working on her case and presenting her case, but it's going to take longer than expected, I guess, is what they tell you on the show when the show ends. So it's just crazy. So just think of that. Think of that. You are going to sit in prison. Someone wants you to sit in prison for the rest of your life because important things were not told in your case. And your lawyer did not let those things go in. Your lawyer knew, but they were like, hey, dude, calm down. Just chill. Okay. Next one I'm going to tell you about. You guys, literally, I cried through this whole thing. Like, the first time I watched it. It's horrible. These are the cases that truly need changing. And there's many, many people like them. These people are not the only people. These are just the ones that we're being told about. So in Dayton, Ohio, there's a sweet little girl named Alexis Martin. She was 15 years old when she got arrested for aggravated murder. The prosecution had painted her as the mastermind of the robbery and the murder. But little did they know that from the ages of 9 to 10, she was sexually abused by multiple people. She went from 13 or 14 different schools before 8th grade. Her parents had drug problems. She has 3 siblings. She got taken away from them multiple times. Her mom went to jail for drug trafficking. At 11, she was doing side work to help pay for food. At 9 or 11, she was raped by the same guy. She went to court. Her evidence was that she had semen in her panties, okay? Proof that this happened. And he was found not guilty. So that left her feeling distraught, obviously, like nothing mattered. And then she meets this guy named Angelo Kearney. I don't know. So at first, she was just running drugs and guns for this dude, Kay, for about a year. And this is the only father figure she's really ever known. This is the most stable relationship she's had. And this has been a year. And then it went from drug dealer to wanting to have sex with her. She didn't want to, so he was raping her. He would tell her things like she's only good for her body. She's nothing. She will never amount to nothing. All that type of bullshit. He started sex trafficking her at 14 years old. One of the stories she tells, guys, is insane. Like, there's these type of people out there, and this sweet little baby girl is sitting in jail, and this type of dude is out there. One dude wanted her to dress up in a Hannah Montana shirt and pigtails and have sex with him, and while having sex, fight back and say, "Ow, daddy, you're hurting me. Are you kidding me?" Like, ugh, gross. She was made to do these things, to do these type of jobs. If she didn't want to, she would get beat. And so she finally came to the point where she's like, okay, I'm done. I'm done with this whole thing. I want out. I want free. I'm done with this whole thing. I'm no longer down. And so she had two friends, and they came up with a plan that they were going to rob him for his drugs and his money. Mainly his money, because she just wanted to get the fuck out of there. So on November 7th of 2013, him and his brother were in the house with her and another girl. Two of her friends, like I said, broke in. Crazy shit happens, obviously. During this time, his brother, Angelo's brother, is in their room raping her. And her friend shoots him. The brother gets shot, not killed. But the pimp actually dies. Okay, Angelo is dead. Like, how insane is that? Okay, it's just, I don't even know. I can't even imagine and going through that. And then she doesn't lie. Like, when the cops ask her what happened, she's like, he was my pimp, blah, blah, blah. She confesses, which is insane. So she got life at 15 years old, which is mind-blowing as an adult. So that means she goes to adult prison, which is just insane, crazy. I don't even know. So the lawyer that she had at the time, his name was Noah. He was her attorney. He said telling a child that their life was over was devastating to him, and he no longer practices juvenile law. While in jail, though, she has gotten her GED, and she is a certified dog trainer for the deaf and impaired, which is awesome. She's also a mentor for other people. And at the time of her case, there was the safe harbor law, which was if anybody knew that you were being sex trafficked, you were to get counseling instead of prison. You were to get help with it instead of being thrown away and locked away. But nobody in her case knew that at the time. Nobody, not the judge, the prosecutor, nobody. It was new to everyone. So she is going up for clemency. She did in December. I'm not sure. But she is still awaiting that hearing. She has not been released yet, which hopefully she gets clemency. Hopefully. And clemency is mercy. You either get it from the governor or the president. It's just you being given mercy. So, it's crazy. So, in Chevy Chase, Maryland, there's this guy, Dr. Howard. He is the director of Georgetown University's Prison Project and the founder and president of the Douglas Project of giving courses at the prison. He does a group with male and female in it, which is pretty freaking amazing. So in Washington, D.C., there's a guy named Mamalu Stewart. He is a juvenile lifer. At 16 years old, he was convicted of first-degree premeditated murder, second-degree murder while armed, and possession of a firearm during a crime of violence. He's been in prison for 23 years. He says something that is just, I don't know, it broke my heart. He said, "When I murdered this man, part of my soul died too." He wasn't alone in this crime. He was with a friend. God, I suck at names. Like, really bad. So don't hate me. Carmi? I don't fucking know. You guys watch this show. He was 17 at the time. Carmine. At 12, okay, this is the type of neighborhood these two came from. At 12 years old, Carmine's best friend died in his arms. Imagine that's where you grow up. And that's what you know. So they started hustling drugs and selling drugs, obviously. And by the age of like 15, 16, they had their own guns and weapons because like they were hustling the midnight shift. And I guess the adults around didn't like the fact that these little boys were coming in and making money. So they had to defend themselves, obviously. And some drug dealer was threatening him and his mom. And so him and Marmalou go to this dude's house and like have like this crazy shooting. Well, he's shot in the drug dealer's shot in the shootout. So they're both given lives. Okay. Marmalou is a mentor and Carmine was released July 10th, 2018. He did 22 years. And during this, you find out that Marmalou gets released October 7th, 2019, out on parole. And that's mainly due, they obviously believe in the show, is because Kim Kardashian wrote a letter to the parole board. And if I just butchered those names, please do not hate me. I am so horrible with names. I know what it's like to have your name messed up. My bad. So sorry. And especially crazy names like that. Like, I don't know. Okay, so in another statistic for ya. In 2007. Wow, way longer than that. 2007, only 27% of the state prisons offered college courses. Horrible. My brother's a dog trainer. I know that. Studies show that programs decrease the rate of returning inmates, lowering prison populations, and requiring less of taxpayer money. Okay, so the next chick I'm going to tell you about was not in jail. Her man was. Liz Giver, like I said, she helped her man, George, get clemency. And this is one of those things that it's like, your family's like, I'm going to fight for you. And then they really don't, and they just wait for you to come home. When she said, baby, I'm going to fight for you, she fucking meant, baby, I'm going to fight for you. Like, it's insane. She goes in front of, like, the TV, the board, everybody, and makes this plea for her husband. He got life for second-degree murder, which is, like, automatic life in prison. The killer in the case only got 7 years, and her man George was still chilling there. Thankfully, though, on May 6th, 2019, he got a vote of five. On this board, there's five people that have to vote, and they all have to agree to release you. Every one of them has to agree. So, he gets all five. He gets out under Governor... What did I say his name was? I didn't tell you. Tom Wolf. There we go. Now, though, he wrote Kim not for himself, but for his friend. His friend, his brother, his soulmate. And this kind of answered a question that I've always had. Because, like, when my brother gets out of jail, normally some of the people that he meets are... gets to know are from where we live in Idaho Falls or the surrounding area. So normally he gets to keep the quote unquote friends he makes. But I've always wondered with like these people who spend decades and decades with people when they get released, like, do they feel bad for leaving their friends behind? And like, I guess when George got out, a bunch of them were like, hey, we don't expect anything from you, dude. Like, just go live your life. And that's all we need. And like, that's going to be it, dude. Just go be amazing. But he just couldn't let David sit there. He said that was his brother and he loves him like one. So David Shepherd, a.k.a. Wavy, pretty bitchin' nickname, who got life without parole, got life without even taking a life. Now, does that make sense to fucking anyone? I believe not. In 1992, he and a friend were driving around doing what teens do. They'd be drinking, messing around, being hooligans, being young, dumb, and full of cum. They go pick up some two other dudes. These two other dudes are like, hey, take me to go get this script filled, my prescription, need it. They're like, okay, cool. They sit out in the car, him and his friend. They sit out in the car. These two other dudes go in, and they're like, damn, these dudes are taking a long time. They find out when the two dudes actually robbed the place and shot the owner of the store. David was found guilty of murder in the second degree with a mandatory life sentence without parole. He got more time than the actual killer did. And sometimes, dude, in these cases, the reason why the killer gets less time is because they take a deal. They'll take whatever the state offers them. And people like David who are like, no, I did fucking nothing. I sat in the car. Go, and they think when they go to trial that the jury of their peers is going to be smart enough to save their life and to know and have common sense that obviously just because I was in the car doesn't mean dick. That's not the case. The state says, nope, dude was in the store. They go along with what he said. And that's just fucked up. And mandatory sentencing is horrible. That gives you no choice. Like, it's ridiculous to put a judge or anyone in that position anyway. He also has not wasted his time behind bars. He organizes a sneaker donation for kids who can't afford shoes from prison. So, like, he's amazing. His mom had 6 kids, got sick and passed away when they were younger. His brother found out about his arrest one night on the news, which is so sad. It's insane. So one of the hardest things that David is facing is the extreme requirements for clemency in Pennsylvania. Lieutenant Governor John Fetterman is working to return communication progress in the state. Reform it. So he says, if you've never taken a life, the state shouldn't take yours, which is so true. Why it's so hard in Pennsylvania is because one bad apple back in 1994 was granted clemency for a murder that he committed when he was 16 years old. When he got out, he committed an atrocious kidnapping, killing, and rape of a child, I believe. So that's just like one person can fuck it up for everybody just because one person. And like, okay, just because these people, I obviously don't think they need to be in prison, doesn't mean I don't think that people don't need to be in prison, obviously. Like, there are some people that really are horrible. They do horrible things and act horrible ways, and that's what should happen to them. In 1960, fewer than 500 people had life in Pennsylvania. Okay? Fewer. Okay? Now, more than 5,000 people and 21 people up for partisanship. So hopefully they get them. And the governor said, sometimes enough is enough. And really, what does it come down to? When is enough enough? Because, like, yes, these people did. And, like, Mama Lou, bam, he straight admits. He's like, yeah, I did my time. Like, I did my crime. I did. How long do I honestly have to wait? And we brought it up with the Brian and what the fuck is the other douche's name? I can't even remember. From Pocatello. Like, is enough enough? We don't know, but I don't know what those two in Pocatello have done since being incarcerated as juveniles, so I won't speak on them. But, like, Donna Jackson, is it okay that she was molested at 5 years old and that's all she ever knew, and then she killed her abuser? Is it okay that she's sitting in prison for the rest of her life? Fuck no, it's not. Like, Alice Johnson, should she have been sitting in prison for 22 years for a non-violent drug charge? Never been in trouble a day in her life. Nothing ever bad. Should she have sat in prison for as long as she did? Hell no. Like, Alexis, 15 years old, you kill your pimp. At the time of your pimp's murder, you're being raped. And you're sitting in prison for the rest of your life. Fuck off. Like, are you guys kidding me? This is just not fair. Like, it's truly just not fair. But thankfully, thank God, David, when he went in front of the board to ask for his clemency, he did receive the vote of 5-5. So he was granted it, and he was released December 10th, 2019, after almost 30 years behind bars. Insane. So, just a little bit of an eye-opener, because of Kim Kardashian and what she's been doing, more than 7,000 people have got to go home to their families because of the bills and everything else that she's been doing at the White House and in front of and getting put onto, like, the law books and all that shit. I'm not going to talk smart. I don't know, like, legislation or some shit. That stuff. Because of her. So, justice is defined as the moral and fair right state of everything. So, I just want to think about that, you know? Think about that. If that was your sister who finally stood up for herself and killed her abuser, would you want her to go away? No. Would you want everything presented at her trial that shows that she is, a victim? Yes. And, like, Alexis, they straight up were like, no, sorry, none of that proves that, like, that was going on. Fuck off. Like, it just, drives me insane and makes me sick to my fucking stomach. So more than 6 million Americans have a criminal record, okay? You guys, the U.S. population is 327 million. Yeah. So that might not seem like a lot, but it's a lot. That affects a lot of people. There are a lot of people going to prison and being thrown away and being told to go rot there, and that's your only choice is to go rot. So 1 in 7 white men will go to prison in their lifetime, and 1 in 3 black men will. So that's insane. And all of these people were African American except for Alexis. She, I think, is Hispanic. But, like, that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The fact that, like, they are getting incarcerated at a rate way faster just because of the color of their skin is insane. Like, honestly, I believe if a little white girl would have killed her pimp, we would have fucking thrown a parade. You know what I mean? We'd be like, oh, good for her. She stood up for herself. Yes, girl. She does it at 15 years old. And we're like, nah, throw away the key, dude. We don't even got time for that. Throw it away. Like, think about that. And yes, I am white. I do have white privilege, I guess, from what everybody says. I don't see it, but, like, and when I say I don't see it is because, like, I am that family affected by this. If my brother, I am a true believer in this, would have gotten the right counseling and the right guidance the first time he went to prison, I don't think he would have returned as fast as he did. Eventually, I do believe he would have gone back, because I don't believe that you, with repeat offenders, I don't think you're done until you're done. I don't think you stop until you hit that point of, like, you get out and you have a life, you have babies, you meet a chick or whatever, and that's what happened to my brother. Like, and then you have to go back and you lose out on that family that you had. You don't get to see those kids. You don't get that. Your baby gets to call someone else dad. You know what I mean? Like, you don't, I don't believe that you stop your bullshit until your bullshit's done with you. And I can't even say his bullshit's done with him. I mean, he just barely got out. God bless it. But, like, hopefully it is the last time. But I believe that if he would have gotten some sort of helpful rehabilitation at some point in time along the way in his life by someone who wasn't so easily fooled, and he did, I'll speak on my brother, I'm not going to say his name, but like, he went to programs as a kid. As a kid, those programs didn't work because he was very good at manipulating people. And when you're young, dumb, and full of cum, dude, all you can think about is going home and getting pussy and being a fucking idiot. That's all that was ever on that dude's mind. That's it. I swear to God. That and video games. Like, I've never... And, like, my brother did stupid-ass shit. Like, dumb shit. Him and my other brother stole my mom's car one time. They're fucking kids in the middle of the night, y'all, getting gas at the gas station. And the damn attendant's just like, oh, that's cool. No. Like, he did crimes like that. And then he drove past my house while my mom's outside. You know what I mean? Like, he did stupid shit like that. Is he a horrible person? No. Dude, just don't think. And no one's ever, like, sat him down and been like, hey, what is the problem up there in that big, big old head of yours? He has a big head. But, like, I don't know, you guys. And some people are different. All my brothers have criminal history. All of them do. And so, even my father does. So, like, and him, he was in jail the longest when he went to prison, shit, videos and, like, MTV were still cool. You know what I mean? And he got out and the whole world was changed. You could fucking call people and see them. Like, the world was different. I don't know if he was given the proper rehabilitation to not recommit what he went to prison for. So hopefully hopefully, obviously, something worked because he hasn't recommitted any crimes. But, like, I don't know. I know that I come from a background that's not easy. It wasn't easy. It wasn't the hardest, but it wasn't fucking easy. And I think the courts abuse their power when it comes to sentencing people and looking at the life that people had. We didn't have a bad childhood, but if you break it down, my brother needed guidance. He needed someone to guide him and to actually give two shits. And he wasn't given that. At any point in time, he was never given that opportunity. Even by the juvenile courts in Idaho, he was never given that opportunity. And I have no problem saying that. The state of Idaho failed him when they could have helped him. And as a family, yes, we could have helped him, but we can only do so much because we're family and we, even to this very day, when he starts fucking up, we all defend him to a point and then we get to the point where we're like, okay, well now we look dumb for defending him, so we stop. But like, that's just because we're family. But the state of Idaho failed him. When he got in trouble, they had the opportunity to do something. Instead, he got given a hateful-ass, old-ass lady as a probation officer who really didn't want to do her fucking job. That's what he was given. He was given someone who was like, okay, fuck up enough and go do it. Go keep getting in trouble until finally the judge says, I have to do something about you. And that's not the way it should be. And so that's what this documentary meant to me is... I look at these and like, yeah, it's great to learn all this about the other states and everything else, but I'm an Idahoan. I'm Idaho at heart. And I just know that in Idaho, our justice system is fucked. Like here in Idaho, and I've said this before and I said it in a joking way and it was like, ha ha ha, that's funny. But I kid you not. If you are arrested for a sex crime in Idaho, against a child or anything like that, you are more likely to get either probation or a program. Your program will be anywhere from 6 to 9 months. If you get caught with drugs of any sort, they're going to throw the fucking book at you, dude, and you're going to go away for a hot minute. And that's just unfair. And yeah, we have these like pre-sentencing evaluations and shit. But really, what does that mean? Like, they don't, what? When you get to prison, they're going to help you? Why can't they help you before you go there? The people I know are re-offenders. Like, you're failed a time and time again. And what if one time, one person stood up as they were growing up in this bullshit and was like, I'm going to actually help this dude. Just what if? That's all I'm saying. It's insane. And the courts really need to look at what leads you to commit your crime. And I'm not saying that everybody has an excuse or anything like that. Like I said, dude, there are horrible fucking people out there in the world that need to rot away in prison and need to go there and never come out. But there are people that that's really the only option they had. And the time that they've been in jail is the only stability they've ever had. It's the only love they've ever known from other people. Like, it's insane. And so just, I don't know. Don't be so quick to judge people. It's really, I guess, the moral of the story. Like, always keep in mind, like, yeah, that person, the person you don't like may be a horrible fucking person to you, you think. Take a second, though. And just be like, where did that person fucking come from? What have they been through? Like, you meet me and you really do think I'm an asshole. I don't come off well. I don't like to come off well, to be honest, because I have a wall up. But like, you get to know me and like, I'm the biggest, kindest, sweetest person. Pretty fucking funny. Won't toot my own horn, but toot toot. You know what I mean? Like, it's just always look at what do you come through to be who you are. And I came through the gutters and I rose above it and I'm proud of it. So I will say that probably 1,000 more times through our time together. In Idaho, you have the choice of CSC, you have anger management, MRT, AA, and NA are some of the programs that I was told about that are offered within our prison system. I don't know if it's enough, but maybe it is, maybe it's not. You guys, I really hope you like my solo little thing. So please, 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 please tell me how much you like it. If you don't like it, lie to me and tell me you do. You guys can follow us on, well, yeah, us. I said that feels weird without her being here. And she's not here because she's like fired. I just can't handle the bullshit with like this corona nonsense, y'all. I can't. And it was so stressful on Sunday to like try to get it to where she could be a part of it. And it was just not fucking working. And I'm just done. I can't handle it. And now that I'm having to teach my kid and be a teacher, like, I think you guys can kind of hear the background of my house. So fucking bless it be, dude. You teachers, if you're a teacher and you're listening to this, God bless you. God bless you. I don't know what I'm gonna do. I don't know. I miss my daughter's teacher so much. I went and picked up her school packet, y'all. I almost fucking cried because I was like, y'all, you don't want to come with me? Like, get in my car and come with me because I can't handle this. You guys, I have a 6-year-old who I swear to God thinks that she's 16. Swear to God. She cries over everything. She did an E backwards. And I was like, girl, your E is backwards. And she cried. And I was like, oh God. So like, that's the shit I'm dealing with. So I just can't. Until she can get her bum back here, I just don't know what we're going to do. So hopefully you guys like it. So let me know on Facebook at It Is What It Is, a true crime podcast. On Instagram, It Is What It Is, pod 19, all together, all one word. On Twitter, It Is What It Is 208, because that's where I'm fucking from. And then you can also go and subscribe on YouTube at It Is What It Is, a true crime podcast. If I get 24 more subscribers, I get my own URL. So don't be hateful. Subscribe, help a bitch out, and fucking show me some love. My brother's doing the sweater. Update on that. It's going to be bitching when I can actually get it and put it all together. See you guys later. Bye.